Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is no Vicky Barcelona. She's on assignment. But over there, it's the show's namesake, BJ Shay.
Hey!
And running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hello.
On today's show, we will talk about The Bad Batch. And of course, we're talking about the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. We'll also talk about the full season of Invincible. Well, BJ and Joe will be. I'll talk about video games with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach. And again, no geek sheet because Vicky's out. But if you want to get a hold of us, you can do so by sending us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. You can find all of our stuff at bjgeeknation.com. And of course, on all those fun apps, all those podcatching apps, and Audacy, A-U-D-A-C-Y. That is our app that used to be radio.com, but no more.
Odyssey.
So that's where you can find us. Make sure you give us those 5-star reviews and all that fun stuff because, well, hey, you know, that's fun.
Why not?
Exactly. Now, Tuesday was May the 4th, and may the 4th be with you.
Yes.
And in honor of that, we did talk a little bit about some of the crazy things that were out there with Gareth on Monday, but then we found out there was a lot more stuff, including The Bad Batch dropped on May the 4th, and you did see it, BJ.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the animated based off of, it's kind of like the sequel to The Clone Wars, right?
Definitely, if you want to look at it like that. I mean, is it a sequel? It definitely takes place pretty much at the end of the Clone Wars, and actually pretty much at the end of Episode 2 of Star Wars, and that is, of course, Clone Wars Episode 2, as well as Clone Wars the series.
And so the Bad Batch follows the elite and experimental troopers of the Clone Force 99, which was first introduced in the Clone Wars, as they find their way in a rapidly changing galaxy in the immediate aftermath of the Clone War. How'd you feel about it? Because I know that when you started watching the Clone Wars, you did so specifically just to kind of because of The Mandalorian, right?
Yeah, and I haven't seen every episode of Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. I also haven't seen every episode of Rebels. So I'm going to have to go back at some point in my life and just go, you know what, let me watch a bunch of them all in a row. But I did want to catch up to The Mandalorian before Ahsoka Tano showed up, and that's why I did this. I was like, I got to watch all the Ahsoka episodes.
Totally.
So I know who the heck she is by the time I see her live-action version, as well as Bo-Katan. I'm glad I did that because I wouldn't have known who Bo was either.
Right? Yeah, I know. Yeah. That actually, it was one of the things I was going to follow that supercut with that you actually sent me the link to for Ahsoka, and it was like still 60 episodes of like a 120 episode series. And I was like, well, then I saw Bo and I was like, you know what? We're just going to watch this, my wife and I. We'll just watch it all the way through. Eventually, we'll get to all the other stuff. We'll be fine with it because I really do love the series.
Yeah, and I think you're going to, you know, and that if you loved Clone Wars and if you loved Rebels, I feel like you're going to love this. And it feels like the animation just gets better and better as time goes by. Sometimes, you know, there were scenes where I felt like I was watching a live action movie.
Really?
With just how the back, you know, just, you know, the characters are obviously animated and they look animated, but then all of the backdrops and the sort of, you know, just the stuff they use, sometimes the droids, it's like, man, the Kaminoans in this one, it was really interesting at times. I'm like, oh, that's kind of like what a Kaminoan is. That, you know, my brain was like, is that a real Kaminoan? Win from the movies, or is it an animated? You know, the animation is beautiful, no doubt about it.
How do you feel about the action and the story so far?
I like it. I like this idea of a Bad Batch, and I wasn't sure where it was going to go, but they sort of set this idea up that, like you said, I don't know if I saw the episodes with the Bad Batch in them before, but we've definitely seen clones with different personalities, the ones that used to hang out with Ahsoka for a while, and Rex and the guys. As a matter of fact, I believe Rex was the one that you saw that he had a defective chip, and therefore he didn't execute Order 66.
And oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's why Ahsoka was able to survive. Or either that or she operated on him. I forget. It's been a while since I've seen the episode, but something was done to his chip so that he would not turn on her. It's nice to know that they've created a storyline where, you know, they've got a certain bad batch of clones that they were, that they, you know, for whatever reason, they experimented on them. They tried to make them different than just the regs, as they're called. It's nice to know that, yeah, all right, so they made them in such a way that the chip didn't work either, at least, you know, for most of them, you know. And I thought, okay, you know, this is definitely a stretch of the movie universe and a little bit of a stretch of the animated universe, but it was really satisfying to me. It's like, all right, I want to follow these dudes. I want to see where they're going.
And this is on Disney Plus, and it's doing the same weekly drop as a lot of the other shows have been doing so far. So it started on a Tuesday, May 4th. The next one is coming up this May 7th as well, May 14th continuing, so on and so forth. So it's going to be another one of those weekly shows. Do you find yourself wanting to come back to this each week so far?
I do. And did you watch Rebels yet, Rev?
I have not watched Rebels yet, no.
Oh, then you missed the big Easter egg. Okay.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, you missed the big Easter egg. Well, a lot of us know something that you are still in the dark about, and yeah, and it's a big something.
There's
a lot of questions that are asked in this episode, you know, and you go, okay, what's this going to be about? Some of us know the answer to one of those questions. I had to go on the internet and look up because I was like, who? But my daughter's boyfriend, he was a huge, huge Clone Wars fan, huge Star Wars fan. So I said, hey, have you watched the first episode yet? I go, there could be a surprise, but I'm going to see if you know what the surprise is. He immediately came upstairs afterwards. He said, yep, that was pretty cool seeing that. And I'm like, yeah, I had to look it up. I didn't even know. But apparently, a lot of Clone Wars fans know about this particular mystery that I'm talking about that you don't know about. But I think it'll be fun for you to sort of follow along with this mystery, because I don't think you're going to watch Rebels before you watch this.
I might not know. At this point, I kind of want to get right into it after the Clone Wars, or maybe even kind of skip ahead, because, I mean, there's a lot of Clone Wars to get to before I even get to this. So, I mean, we're only on, I think, season 3 of, what, 7? So, we might have to skip ahead and then just go back to it, just because this one seems really interesting, and it seems like a lot of people are very stoked about it.
Yeah, well, my advice to you then is, because I don't know where this is going to go, but my advice to you is not to watch Rebels until you finish at least this season of Bad Batch.
Oh,
so
okay.
Chances, because you're one of the lucky ones that you haven't seen Rebels yet. So
lucky, I like that.
Yeah, so there's a, you know, I tell everybody, like, when you people go, what should I watch? What order should I watch Star Wars? And of course, there's the one that says, don't even bother with Episode 1.
Yeah, that's mine.
What? Yeah, with Jar Jar?
Yeah. No, just get rid of the Phantom Menace. It has nothing to do with any of the plot whatsoever. Yeah. Throw it in the ocean.
But you lose Qui-Gon, and I really like Qui-Gon.
He is cool.
So, yeah. So, until, of course, he had the midichlorians conversation. But but the thing that people, I tell people, but if you don't watch episode four and five first, then the mystery of what happens in episode 5 gets spoiled by watching 1, 2, and 3 first.
Absolutely, yeah, I do agree with that.
So I feel like you get to, it's a similar situation, and now you're going to get to, you get to sort of meet Yoda for the first time, if you will, without knowing that he's Yoda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is going to be cool for you to be able to. That's why I say, I don't know how. God, if Bad Batch has as many seasons as Clone Wars, then you're going to be waiting a long time. But at some point, I feel like, you know, we're going to learn more and more, and then maybe at some point I'll say, hey, by the way, Rev, you probably, if you want to, you can watch Rebels now. yeah, so it's, that was kind of a fun thing, and I was kind of like, I wonder. And then I looked it up, and turns out I was right. But the true Star Wars, Clone Wars, like, diehards already knew as soon as they might have even known even before the episode dropped.
Wow, yeah, that's kind of crazy. I love it. I love just the excitement that everyone's having for it. So it's a good thing to have on, I guess at this point, Star Wars week, because May the 4th be with you, Revenge of the 5th, and something about the 6th and Sith. I don't know.
Well, don't forget, this is the May.
This is the May. I saw on that as well because of the Mando. Yeah. Thank you so much on that one. Moving on from that, we finally got the season one finale of Invincible. And you and Joey have seen the entire season. I've only watched the first episode. So myself and anyone else who haven't seen it, spoilers, you guys can go ahead and spoil however which way you want with it. Because, I mean, it's already been out as a comic book. So, I mean, it's been out for a while. So you don't have to necessarily worry about all of that.
And I've read the whole series, though. It's been so long that I've read the whole series that a lot of this stuff is a wonderful surprise, again, to go. Because I kind of go, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, that's right. That happened. And Joey, you never read the comics, right?
I have not.
Okay, so it's you'll get two perspectives, somebody who's read the comics and what do I think of the show, and
nice,
we talked
about
it before, but what do I think of this season, and then Joey, who's just walking in on this going, well, I'm just watching a show.
Definitely.
And so Invincible follows a young teenager who takes up the name Invincible because he has superpowers based off of his alien-born father, and goes gallivanting along adventures. Is that about a pretty good summary for that one?
Yeah, and it turns out that the older he gets, perhaps, the stronger and more invincible he will be. Think Superman, who's not so super yet, but his father is Superman, and he's very super. So that's what I'm noticing, or at least, Joe, I think you can notice that too, is that Invincible should get stronger as he gets older, like his dad is wicked strong and wicked invincible almost.
Yeah, imagine if Superman had a kid, essentially, with an Earthling.
All right,
fair. That's who he is.
And then that might play a part into, like, how invincible will he get with his Earth DNA as opposed to his dad is pure Viltrumite, which gives him his superpowers. And unlike Superman, Viltrumites are super powerful anywhere. So they are just super powerful. Doesn't matter anything about science.
No sun power or anything along those lines.
Yeah, and they can take a beating. I mean, they can be hurt. But my gosh, it takes a lot to really hurt them.
Yeah, and you kind of know they're evil. In the sense, after a couple episodes, because you kind of get the sense that his dad's hiding something, and then he ends up killing everyone in the end of the first episode.
Yeah, at the end of the first episode, it's kind of like, whoa, this is going to go to a place. Because it gave me a Saturday morning cartoon vibe for the first half, and then the second half, I just didn't know what to make of it. But it still kind of kept that cartoon vibe, just with, you know, brains, blood, and guts everywhere.
Yeah, it's a very adult cartoon as far as that's concerned, without nudity and without sex jokes. It's interesting. And there was I can't remember the YouTuber's name, but the YouTuber was he does a lot of cool videos that I follow, and someday I'll remember his name. I should give him some credit. But he talked about, you know, American animation, where, you know, either it's got to be really for adult animation, it's like, why can't you just do sophisticated adult animation without making it sex jokes and crudity and all that stuff? And this is definitely gratuitous violence, but it's very adult, including, you know, J.K. Simmons is an actor. Sandra Oh is his mom.
Yeah.
And Stephen Wynn. Did I say his name right?
Stephen Yoon.
Stephen Yoon. Thank you. I don't know why I cannot say Stephen's name right, but played, of course.
Glenn on The Walking Dead.
Thank you. You know what? I just can't remember anybody's name. So that guy.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. And so these are really good actors. And so they're taking it seriously. And I remembered how good the comic was. It was like, okay, they've upped the level of what a Superman could have been if it was written in modern day for the first time. And that's kind of what, you know, and he's got a lot of, it reminds me of a cross between Peter Parker and Superman, you know, because he's a teenager with issues. And they're like drama issues, you know, in high school and stuff like that. And, and by the way, guess what? I have superpowers and my dad's an a-hole, like a galactic a-hole.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously get the gist of that, off of the first episode. And I have to imagine it goes a bit deeper into that storyline, the dynamic between those two as this season goes.
Yeah. It's a great show because you get dropped in the story when, instead of like trying to solve a one bad guy issue, it's what happens when all the superheroes die and there are still villains left, right? And you go, oh, well, Superman will save the day. But it turns out Superman's also evil. So now you have this weird arc of like, okay, well, baby Superman now has to figure out what it is to be a hero, and then finds out Superman's his dad is evil. And he's like, well, what do I do? And then that's why this last episode was so great, because you find out essentially evil Superman is among a race of essentially Thanoses. they galactically conquer the universe, and then they essentially wipe out half of the life on the planets to conquer them.
Wow.
Yeah, and so you're sitting there, you're like, dude, what is he going to do? Because who's going to beat him? No one's going to beat Thanos. There's no superheroes. They all died.
And the crazy part about that is, too, is like if you're sitting there and you're like, you've been under the whole thinking that you're here to protect a planet, when in fact, that's not the case.
Yeah, your dad raises you to be Superman Jr. And you're like, yes, I'm finally going to get to live my dream. And at the end of the season, it turns out, you're here to conquer it.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. And
Which is also reminiscent of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It is that relationship between Ego and, you know his name? I can't remember his
name. Star-Lord.
Thank you. and so there's that relationship there, because now Star-Lord's got to fight the big, and the fact that his mom isn't the only mom, kind of a thing. Like, you know, you're like, oh, well, these guys don't care who the mom is what I really mean to say, is that his mom's not important.
Yeah,
just like an Ego, the mom was not important. But, you know, when you're the kid, you're like, my mom's very important. And, oh, man, they had these spy satellites. Cecil's a great character, by the way, who's like a CIA guy, but like a superhero CIA guy for Earth. And basically records the whole conversation between Omni-Man, his dad, and, of course, Invincible. And mom hears just how unimportant she is and why he just thinks she's a loser. I mean, the father. I mean, it is a horrible conversation. So he's wrecking everybody, but he's also wrecking, like, this relationship that they had.
Well, I know that you guys obviously have liked it so far on this. They have announced that they will be having a second and third seasons for it. So we can at least continue this story and see how far it's going to be going with those three.
Yeah, I know where I do have a vague memory of what's going to happen. And so it's going to be fun as I'm watching, like, well, let me see if this happens and that happens and what transpires. And and of course, they may change some things because that happens with television over comics.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be fun to see where they go with that and what you remember. And you'd be like, wait, did that happen? I don't think that happened. And then going back to your comics and seeing.
And yeah, shout out to Seth Rogen, who has a great character in the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't think of a better guy to play Alan. Alan the Alien is
Alan
really
the
awesome.
Alien?
Yeah. Oh, he's really awesome. And honestly, Seth is the greatest guy to play him. And I know where that goes. And you know, and you saw a bit of it, Joe. You saw a bit of the fact that these two are really like going to end up having a good friendship.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's just the great galactic failure of an employee, essentially.
and there's a wonderful story arc for him. So it's good that we'll be seeing a lot more of Seth, as it were.
Nice.
A lot of those folks, yeah, and it's well done. Great voice acting is on the show too. A lot of good characters that you know, you've heard the voice and go, how have I heard that voice before?
You have to look it up, make sure on the IMDb and everything.
And one thing I love about this show is it doesn't constrain itself to a certain amount of time, similar to what Mando does, which is random times of episodes kind of a thing. They were in the longer side; they were closer to 30 or 40 minutes. So you got a full story every episode, as opposed to sometimes in those shows you get kind of like a half story because they have to clip it into certain, you know, episodes.
Yeah. And that's one, I think, one of the beauties of what's happening now with less actual television stuff and more streaming service things, is that they can tell the story they want to with each episode, which is fantastic.
Definitely.
I hope, boy, if this is super successful, I don't know how they can do it, because it'll probably be skillions of dollars, but I would love to see a live action version of this.
I think that's maybe why they went animated.
Hey, The Boys is kind of similar.
Yeah, exactly right. Moving on from that, today is a big day for video game fans, especially if you are in the survival horror genre, because Resident Evil Village drops today. It is the eighth major entry into the Resident Evil series, with ultra-realistic graphics powered by the RE engine. Fight for survival as danger lurks around every corner. You may know this one as when the trailer dropped of the Lady Dimitrescu Screw or something like that. Big vampire, 9 foot tall vampire mommy that everyone is lusting over on the old Twitters. She is going to be the main villain in this one. This is set a few years after the horrifying events in the critically acclaimed Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. The all-new storyline begins with Ethan Winters and his wife Mia living peacefully in a new location, free from their past nightmares. And just as they begin building their new life together, tragedy befalls them once again, and vampire mommy attacks everyone. everybody. I don't know what's going on with it, but I am buying it, and I'll be playing that one on my PlayStation. So it's out now. You can go get it. And now with some more video game news, we have Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach.
Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net, and some interesting news, including some new stuff from the old downloadable content, the DLC front. What do you got for us?
Well, first off, Watchdog Legions has got a bunch of stuff. Watchdogs Legion, rather, a lot of stuff coming out. We have, for those who have the paid DLC, all sorts of new things, new playable character, new DedSec missions, new online and co-op play. Now, remember, it is important to remember the online and co-op is for consoles right now. They haven't fully released the PC version of it. I did do a beta of it, and it needed more time, but, you know, it's in the works. And there, of course, is going to be more free content, as well as more DLC, paid DLC content coming as we get near the summer, more side missions, more playable characters, more main missions, and then more online options as well.
Awesome. Awesome with that. And anything else on that front?
The next update we had was brand new mission called Terminal Error, which kicks off Season 3 for Zombie Army 4 Dead War. Now, this was interesting because this one came out of the blue. We had all the DLC for Season 1, we had all the DLC for Season 2, and there was kind of a, okay, is this it, and this is where we're going to be unless they make a new game. And then out of the blue, boom, big update, Season 3, and this is the first one. What was so interesting about it was a very large open-ended map. We just put up the full-level gameplay the other day. It took over an hour and 10 minutes to go through this one episode.
Nice.
And usually they're broken down into chapters, and I was very fortunate that I started solo, was doing okay, and fortunately other people dropped in and we had a full squad by the time we got rolling. Didn't finish with a full squad, but we at least had help, and they said Rebellion has said this is the first of new content coming, and there'll be more, so the storyline will continue. And of course, along the way, you'll probably see new weapons and cosmetics and things dropped, but it was a very long and detailed mission with multiple objectives along the way, so pretty cool.
Nice. Awesome. And I know that we've got an update about E3. What's going on with that?
Well, the nice thing about E3 is there was a little bit of bad news, and then there was some good news. Now, the bad news was that Konami, who had been planning to come, dropped out. And the reason for that was they said essentially the games that they were planning to talk about, they are not ready to reveal. However, the good side is that a whole list of new companies has joined them. Now, you may remember we talked about how right out of the gate, Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Ubisoft, Take-Two and Warner Brothers are already there, so we're hoping for Back for Blood and all the other reveals. Well, the good news is that Square Enix, Sega, Bandai Namco, Gearbox, Verizon, and Xseed have jumped in, and so everyone's very curious to see what they have, specifically Gearbox, because it is being touted as new games. And so I looked at it and said, okay, not new Borderlands DLC new games, and of course that gets the mind wandering to, is it too soon for another Borderlands game? Probably, but is it possibly time that Duke Nukem gets dusted off again?
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, if you're going to dream, dream big. Exactly.
Fair enough,
you know,
yeah.
It's not, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably not Aliens, Colonial Marines 2, The Apology, but especially since, as far as I know, they don't have the license.
But, yeah, they lost that one.
But, you never know, and that's what makes it so interesting. So, and then, of course, as we get closer, there are going to be other announcements, because we're about 5 weeks away from it. There is a very big one that we're expecting to see, and that, of course, would be the new Call of Duty game, and there's been a little bit of news on that this week. So, you know, progress, as they say.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so do you even know, kind of like, I know that Call of Duty kind of bounces around. Are there even, is it just speculation on even what kind of what era it's going to be, or has that been leaked?
Yeah, there was speculation. Now, this one is being done by Sledgehammer, and they did the Call of Duty World War II. and very well received after, you know, people were kind of getting a little, what's going on with this futuristic, you know, settings and futuristic weapons. Now, there was some rumors that it was going to be a guerrilla warfare type game that might involve Vietnam, Korea, that sort of thing. And now the latest rumors we're hearing again are, no, it is definitely more World War II based, but we're not hearing if it is entirely the European theater or if it's going to be set in, say, the Pacific Rim, like the Pacific conflict, that sort of thing. What is interesting, though, was we got, you know, surprise, surprise, it is definitely coming out this year, so we are going to have a fall release of a new Call of Duty game. Sledgehammer is definitely doing this one, but beyond that, we don't know. And, of course, the rumors are continuing that it's World War II based, and then people are saying this will be really interesting because the last two games were very integrated into their free-to-play Warzone segment. And so people were like, you know, Modern Warfare and Black Ops Cold War, those both rolled into it. How do you roll in World War II weaponry and such into that? And it's like, well, you know, probably the same way they rolled in zombies and stuff like that. Patches, updates, and,
right, yeah,
and tweaks. But that would be something that would also be very prime to have a reveal, because last E3 notwithstanding, the last one we had in person, that was the standard. We would hear rumors, we'd get a little teaser leak, maybe a tiny video, and a trailer, and then at E3 we got our proper look at it. You know, oftentimes would be they would have it at the booth, there'd be a closed door meeting for the press where we got a really in-depth walkthrough, and then the last few builds we actually had hands-on models that we could play all the way up from Black Ops 4.
Well, very exciting stuff for Call of Duty, but also hot off the presses, you got some breaking news about The Division 2.
Exactly, and it's not just The Division 2, it's the whole darn franchise at this point. So Ubisoft has come out and said, hey, no shocker, a lot of people thought they were wrapping it up with the last big update, and that would be it until they put out a new game. Well, not necessarily the case, because they announced that, no, some more content would be coming for Division 2 later in the year, including a new play mode and all sorts of things. So it's like, okay. Yeah. Didn't at first glance sound like there would be anything that would rapidly advance the story. We know that there's the new movie coming based on the first game. I believe it will be appearing on Netflix with Jake Gyllenhaal, mm-hmm. Jessica Chastain. That was confirmed as well. They've said the franchise is coming to mobile platforms, and there'll be all sorts of things. And then they dropped this bombshell, a brand new free-to-play game called Heartland.
Whoa, so it's a free-to-play game?
It's a free-to-play Division game that is apparently coming later this year, The Division Heartland. And it's going to, and of course, a novel is coming. There's a novel that apparently will pick up the storyline after the main core of The Division 2.
Now,
and this is really interesting stuff.
Now, do you know if it's going to be something like a Battleground or something like that? Because a lot of the free-to-plays end up being something like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Nothing yet, but course, you know, just goes to say it dovetails into what we were talking about. Ubisoft has already confirmed for E3 doing their showcase, so I think you can bet this is where we're going to see something. And see, and that's interesting because it did, you know, you think, okay, the core of the game, yes, it can be played solo, but the core of it is a co-op based game.
Totally, yeah.
So I don't expect a free-for-all in the Heartland, but of course, if it is free to play, and this is, of course, where the critics are going to come in, there has to be some kind of monetization because you have to make a return on your investment. So obviously, skins, cosmetics, characters, weapons, stuff like that. But what is the core gameplay going to be?
Exactly.
You know, we have this picture of a water tower out in the Heartland, so obviously it's set in the central part of the country. Is it going to be a massive online, hey, guess what, instead of four division agents, we're going to have 10, 12, 15, whatever going on missions? Or is it going to be something where you can be like series of death matches, kind of like when you go into the Dark Zones And at that point, you can go rogue and turn on other players if you choose to. But there's also NPC characters in the mix. So bottom line, though, it sounds good. It doesn't sound like it's going to be some, you know, real basic thing. It sounds like a full release, and it will be very interesting. And, of course, as someone who likes the franchise, this really makes you wonder, is the focus going to be on Heartland, or is this a placekeeper until they decide to go to a full-on Division III or something like that? And, of course, those of us who play it regularly, we talk about, you know, we've had New York, we've had D.C. Where do you go next? Would you go, you know, would you go to Florida? Would you go to Texas? Would you go to Los Angeles and Las Vegas out that way? Well, Heartland, you can see they're moving west.
I can see that, and I can see that you're going to be right on it when it gets down to all the news and rumors and everything. People need to check out Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. You get all sorts of information, usually before they reach all the other presses. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
So much video game news, and I know I'm going to be playing a lot of Resident Evil Village.
Yeah, you will.
In maybe in the darkness, so I can scare the crap out of myself as much as possible.
Between
that and the Bad Batch, I got a full weekend. So, well, thanks for listening, guys, and, well, stay nerdy.